Ramadan Mubarak to you, to all of our listeners.
To our Muslims, our non-Muslims celebrating.
Muslims, non-Muslims. I hope everybody has a blessed Ramadan. I hope everybody, you know, becomes closer to,
their faith,
their creator, whatever makes you happy. But I have a confession to make.
Oh, wow.
I have a confession to make. This is my first Ramadan without my mother. And I must say,
it's hard.
Ramadan without your mother, it's different. It's not the same. And I'm not talking about, you know, like the having the mother, you know, and eating with her, that's one thing. But I'm just talking about, like, man, it's a lot of work, like preparing all this food and like preparing the food and then the food again and then cleaning everything while you have no energy.
And waking up for Sihri.
And you have to wake yourself up.
5 a.m.
Isn't that crazy? Because I'm used to having like my mom like knock, 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 like mushroom.
Yeah.
And you know,
that was such a good impression of her.
Yeah, you know, she's been there my whole life. I don't gotta do. She's not here to do that no more. You know, so that's why I'm going back home.
Yeah,
I'm going.
You can't deal with it anymore.
I'm going back home soon, just cause I miss my mom and Ramadan.
But also, holidays, any holiday without your family is hard.
I know.
Lonely.
Yeah, it's probably like what like white people feel like without like their family during Christmas.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I mean anyone really. Like if you move to a different state for college and you don't have your family, you don't have home cooked meals. Like even when I first moved out, I was spending Ramadan alone. And even though my family is like a couple minutes away, it's not like I am able to spend every single day with them because I have to do everything for the most part in my own home. But yeah, it definitely makes you grow up quick when you don't have that.
I don't like it.
But luckily, you have me, you have my family, which
That's
is our
true.
Family. You have your friends and stuff.
Yeah.
So you're not completely alone.
But my mommy. That's why I've been making like some like desi inspired dishes. You know, I made tandoori chicken for the
tandoori,
first time.
Fire tandoori chicken the other day.
It was, you know, not to toot my own horn.
Toot your own horn. It was good.
I think it was quite good.
It was good.
And you know, just I'm just out here. You know, I'm excited for Ramadan. It started off a little rough. It hasn't started off the way that I liked, but you know, we're gonna get back in tune because that's what it's all about. It's all about staying consistent. It's all about staying disciplined, and it's all about, you know, make sure that you have the most positive month as possible.
Yeah. So. It's been just hard because of, like, daylight savings and just...
I'm just sleepy.
You know, being a little sleepy.
I'm just sleepy.
But we just got to stay up after Sihri, which is, what, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m.?
5
and just start
morning.
A productive morning. We'll get to it. We're only a few days in.
Yeah, if you got any tips for, like, you know, how to, like, get over caffeine withdrawals, I'm withdrawing, man. I'm a fiend for
It's okay. You'll be fine.
Okay.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's a month of more than just like not eating. It's a month of reflection, spirituality, everything. But anyway, welcome back to our podcast called Difficult Dish, a podcast about different South Asian narratives. We like forgot to mention our name in the last episode. So we hope. Also, we don't have our drinks in our hands. As you can see,
vibes
we're
low.
Vibes are low today. Okay?
Brain fog. You know,
brain fog, tiredness. We don't have our drinks. We usually have our
hang in there
Alani.
Us.
We usually have our poppy drink. We usually have a coffee, a water. We usually have four drinks in front of us, but we don't have it today, and that's fine. But you know, hope you don't get mad at us.
Yeah, I hope you're not upset that we don't have drinks.
I hope you are happy that we are fasting for Ramadan.
But
anyway, I am your co-host Mahua Khan.
Yeah, I'm your co-host number two, Mosh.
Thing number two.
Yeah.
And today's episode is going to be about hustle culture in any big city, but specifically New York City, where we're from now, because this man lives here now.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about how hustle culture is such a big deal in our lives and just how it defines us, how it defines a city and any big city, how it's different from other cities in America or in the world. And on top of that, how hustle culture, on top of just the upbringing we've had in a Bangladeshi American South Asian type of household, very, you know, go, 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 work, 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 how that's all played a part in our mental health and just the people that we are today. You know, we've been talking about this lately. And I feel like it's going to be interesting to bring this to the podcast and like have an open discussion about it. You know,
I have a confession to make.
Oh, another one already? How many? How many confessions we got?
Full of secrets this episode.
All right. What is it?
I've slightly been in my lazy era.
Oh, wow.
I've been in my lazy
era. What's that mean?
This is what that means. Because for the people that know me, I'm a hard worker. I work my ass off. I work a lot. Like, I love to work. I love working towards my small goals. I love, you know, working towards my big goals. And I love accomplishing things that I sought out for myself.
Right.
But something about this move to New York, it's not what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
This move to New York is not what I expected.
And that's okay. Things don't always go the way you plan.
Exactly. Things rarely go the way that you plan.
Yeah.
You know, you should always expect the unexpected. You should always expect for, you know, things to take a turn.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I think everybody who plans to move to New York always has the same vision. They're always like, I'm going to move to New York. I'm going to work 20 hours a day and I'm going to find the perfect apartment and I'm going to cancel out all distractions and just going to focus on me. That's what everybody plans on when they come here. So that was playing on when I came here. But when from the time I've come here, life has been turmoil.
Oh, wow. You
know, things have just gone completely unexpected. Like, the opposite of what I would have expected life to turn out to. Like, not that I, like, have hopes of what is going to happen. I mean, obviously I have hopes, but I don't look at those hopes of, like, you know, my life depends on these things to happen. Like, you know, everybody has things that they wish happened. And for me, like, there were things I was planning on, like looking forward to. It just didn't work out. So it's been a weird start to the year. It's been a weird start to, like, my move to New York. And I think, evidently, it's caused me to be a little bit of a procrastinator. And it's affected my workflow.
But it might have made you more into procrastinator because things didn't go your way and now you're kind of like in a slump, but it has made you more introspective.
Introspective.
That's the word.
That's true. I'm like in that zone, right? Like that in between space, like that purgatory space, like that, like I feel the urge to get back to like my goals, but I'm also like, just struggling to like look at them with clarity at this.
You're
moment.
Having a pivot.
Yeah,
it's fine. You're having a pivot. That's yeah, normal.
So that's what's inspired me to also want to talk about, you know, this topic. Just as a reminder for people that are not having a great start to the year. I know I was very vocal on having a great start, and I'm sure there are people that are not having a great start. And I think this episode is kind of dedicated to them too, to like remotivate them into thinking like, you know, just because things didn't go well doesn't mean that you can't make the most out of like what's to come.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a lot of people see that things aren't going the way that they want it to go. Like, you know, their New Year's resolutions, they're not accomplishing something. Something doesn't go their way because, you know, life has other plans. You can obviously let that define you. You can let that failure, like, just let it stop you. Or you can use that to fuel new goals or try again. Or just pivot your dreams and your goals, you know? And that's what you're doing. So I'm proud of you, buddy.
Thanks.
All right. Anyway, we didn't do a little, if you're watching this.
Yeah, if you are watching this.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe the video.
If we're fasting. Listen,
vibes are low, but we're gonna have a great time. We're going to try our best. If you're listening on audios, rate the podcast, review the podcast. Hope you enjoy all the blabberness and you know, hope you hang in there with us.
Yeah, hope you actually enjoy this episode because I feel like, I mean, all of our episodes, might I say, are great because we record
it. Yeah,
you
know, it's us.
We talk about it. But it's like this episode especially is going to be like a very, I don't know, concurrent thought in our head.
Like it's ongoing. It's like,
ongoing. It's
like a little therapy session for us, you know? So it might come from the heart.
Like our inner voice is, you know, speaking out.
Right.
Yeah,
my boy.
All right. So
yeah, where you want to start?
You're in New York now.
Okay, yeah.
You moved here Queens. A couple months ago.
For me?
You're officially a Queens, New York boy.
Yeah. King of Queens.
And maybe it's not going the way that you want it to go.
Mm.
So let's talk about it. How has your life been different here in comparison to your life in Orlando, where you lived your whole life, basically? Like, how is the hustle culture, the productivity different?
You know, one thing you don't realize you have until you don't have it anymore is just like it's something to fall back on.
Mm.
You know, like a backbone.
Talk about that.
In Orlando, if nothing was going well, I have my childhood home.
Yeah.
I have, my mother. I have people that I've known my whole life. And I have, like, the city that I've grown up in my whole life. I know people that, like, everywhere I go, like, I'll know someone. I'm, like, familiar.
Like, familiarity. The
familiarity with everything. It just, it'll always bring you comfort. It'll always bring back comfort. If, like, everything goes to, like, bad. I don't want to curse. If everything goes bad, it'll just bring you back to, like, some sort of, like, level grounded comfort. Whereas, like, when I'm out here, yeah, I know people. I know you, some people, blah, blah. But, like, this is not my home, right? Florida's mm-hmm. my home. Yeah, I've come here a bunch of times. It's not my home. There's still so many places I'm, like, I'm familiar with. Like, yesterday, we went out somewhere. With her brother, ended up going to a wrong location. And I was somewhere that I had no idea where I was. And it's not that I was scared, but I was just like, man, like, I don't like being unfamiliar with where I am. Like, yeah. Outside, like dolo, like, laptop on me. I don't like this. And, like, I don't have that feeling ever in Orlando. Mm. And that, I describe that as, like, a backbone. Like, when I talk backbone, I'm talking about, like a comfort, like, a level of comfort that you never realize you have until, like, you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm here, like, if there's a day where I'm just, like, feeling lazy, and I, like, don't want to work, I have to, like, check myself and be like, yo, the only reason I'm here is to work hard. Like, to achieve my goals, to, you know, create a level of comfort for myself. But, like, I'm not comfortable right now, you know. And when I'm feeling uncomfortable, I don't have anything to make myself feel comfortable. I just have to keep going. I just have to ignore it.
That's a
you
good
know,
way
I just,
of saying
I just
it.
Have to, like, put that to the side and be like, all right, back to work. Because the only way I'm going to obtain comfort in this place is by working hard and accomplishing my goals, you know, and also being
financially stable
and just being here longer, financially stable. All that stuff is what brings comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, I look back in Orlando and it's like, yeah, maybe that comfort can make me procrastinate sometimes, but maybe it's the stage you are in my life. Like, right now, like, I've been mostly because I just miss my mom. But I've been craving going back home to Orlando because, I don't know, I think right now, with things being so weird in life and with me being so, like, when I say I'm uncomfortable here, it's not like I'm uncomfortable with New York. Like, I love New York and I love being here, but it's like maybe I just crave, like, a little bit of, like, stability in, like, these hardship moments. But it's also, like, on the other end, it's like when things are tough, that's when you got to keep going. You know, when you're in the fire, that's when you got to keep going. But it's like, how do you know when, like, you're too on fire and, like, you're still going, and, like, at this rate, how healthy is it for you? Like, at what point do you tell yourself to just, like, get out the fire for a little bit to, like, reevaluate things and to, like, go back when, like, you know, you're feeling ready for it again?
You're very lucky that you have, like, a home to go back to when you are feeling down.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
A lot of people aren't able to just, like, leave. Yeah. But again, that's why so many people move to New York and they're so excited to, like, fulfill their dreams and their, you know, the glitz and glamour. They're excited to fulfill their artistic careers, whatever it is. And then they come here and it's not anything like what they expected, right? Yeah. Like, they have to hustle, work multiple jobs, still get paid barely anything to afford an apartment that's, like, the size of a shoebox. And their dreams are kind of, like, crushed. And then they are forced to quit and go back home. And you're not quitting. You're just, like, going back for some comfort for, like, a week and a half and then coming back. But it's, like, very debilitating sometimes because we have this idea of New York City and, like, these big cities and they're, like, glitz and glamour. But really, it's not, you know. It's pushing out so many people. So do you think that in Orlando, the hustle culture isn't as, like, prevalent as New York?
There's no hustle culture there, man. Like, yeah, everybody's working. Everybody's trying to build their thing. But there's no, like, you know, I know this is something that you want to bring up later. But, like, there's no, like, nobody's in competition with each other. Nobody's, like, trying to outwork one another. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, whether you're doing something artistic, like, you're doing your thing. You're making your music. You're making your content. You're putting it out. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, at your own pace. If you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, like, There's no, like rush to get rich over there. It's just, like, get a house, get a family, live by the lake, go fishing.
Like, traditional
and, like,
norms.
Chill out. Go to the theme parks every now and then. Like, no, for real. Like, that's, like, what life is out there.
Yeah.
And I've always, like admired the hustle culture and like strive to work very hard. But I think one thing I realized is like everybody loves the hustle culture only when like life is going perfectly. Only when there's no complications in the way. Only, you know, when like you picture the way that like your current life can be going as best as possible. And as long as things are aligned, then you love to work hard. You know, mm-hmm. everybody loves to work hard when they don't really got as much to stress about, like compared to like if things were in worse situations. Mm-hmm. Like I think about when I moved out to my apartment, I had a year, and in that year, like life was pretty fine. Like my mom was 20 minutes away from me. I saw her every 2 days. My sister was coming down all the time. Like life was fine, and all I had to focus on was like graduating, making money.
But that was my poems. Big deal at that point.
It was a big deal, but it's like the ecosystem of like life mm-hmm. wasn't crazy. Like mm-hmm. it wasn't heavy. It was just like me focusing on me. And that's mm-hmm. when, like, people love to hustle.
I remember when you were in Orlando, you would have, like, this lull phase, like, around 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the day when it would get really, really hot. And yeah, you would yeah. get very tired and, like, yeah, not productive at all.
Yeah.
And I remember you're like, oh, my God, I can't wait to go back to, like, New York and actually live there yeah. where I don't feel so tired in the middle of the day and I'm, like, not stuck in this unproductive
yeah.
rut.
Yeah, I don't have that here.
Yeah.
Like, still.
That's good.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. I feel like even here, if we did have like this feeling of, oh, let me just be unproductive because the weather is not in my favor right now. Like we don't have the privilege of doing that.
Yeah.
For the most part, like life doesn't really stop here. And obviously I'm not saying that life stops in other places, but it's like here you're kind of conditioned into working
yeah.
even if you don't really feel like it. And I remember when I, like, I'm born and raised in New York, but I didn't live in New York City my whole life. But when I did first move out almost, like, 3 years ago, I remember the hustle culture was so, like, toxic and consuming that I didn't feel like going outside. Like, I yeah. felt like I had to stay at home alone in my apartment and just, like, work. Also, I was doing my master's at this time while yeah. I was, like, pursuing so many other creative yeah, things. Right. So I felt like I had to kind of isolate myself from other people because I had to work on these side things. And not only are you working on these things for yourself to make a living in New York, just because the cost of living is crazy here, right? So you're working on these things because they're your hobbies, but also because you need a livable income. But then on top of that, you're kind of also competing with the other people around you, which is weird because they're your friends.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be doing that. Like you should be doing it for yourself. And it's very toxic and scary because I didn't think that I'd get out of it. So if you don't really have like a good grasp on your identity, on your personality, if you don't know who you are as a person, like if you don't go to therapy or just like do that inner work, like it's really going to consume you in such a bad way because yeah. the hustle culture, especially in New York, like obviously I can only really talk about my own experience living here. It is so weird, so toxic. It's like a flex to be doing so much work. It's like a flex to be working like hundreds of hours a week without rest, and it's a flex to be making all this money and brag about it, you know? And I've seen this like take over a lot of people where they feel like their only personality is how much work they do. Yeah. And honestly, that was me for a long time as well, where I felt like the only way I could introduce myself was like talk about all the things that I'm doing, not how much money I'm making, I wouldn't get to that extent, but like just how much I'm doing to make it seem yeah. like I have a upper hand on someone else, you know? And I was even talking to one of my friends and she just recently moved to New York City and I asked her, oh, how has it been here? How has like the hustle culture been for you, you know? And even though she didn't live too far away from New York City, her actually living here now and living in an apartment in Manhattan, she's understanding just how quick life is and how it's like moving faster than she thought it would. Like she's a consultant, so she's working so hard in that job. But then also living in New York, you feel like you have this obligation of keeping up with like
doing more,
keeping up with like the social image. Like you feel like you have to go out with your friends and yeah. you have to, you know, be a part of like the New York culture of like going out and like getting drinks or getting food and going to all the cool events and things like that, which obviously is a privilege and is an option. You don't have to do that. But you feel like you have this pressure to do that. So since she's working this hard job and she's working long hours, she's not able to work as much on her social image, that side of her life. And so she feels like left behind, you know? And it's just such a weird feeling, especially in your 20s, when you are living in New York or this big type of city, where you are trying to like juggle so many different forms of your life, so many identities. And if you're not doing it well enough, you're like beating yourself up over it, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, so definitely in the beginning of like when I first moved here, it was very like, I don't even know what the word is, like just very like consuming in a toxic way. And I'm glad that I got a hold of like my own self and my own value, where I kind of detached myself from that hustle culture and like from my work, because I feel like if I still stayed in that, I would be working 24/7 without even batting an eye, and like it would be fine for me.
How do you feel like hustle culture differentiates between like working 3 part-time jobs, like one at a coffee shop, at a bar, and at wherever else, versus like you working solely on like yourself and like your own businesses and, you know, your own content and stuff? Like, do you feel like hustling for like both those things are the same, or like how do you think it's different?
I think it's different because when you have a boss to go to, like when you are responding to someone else, your life is not as free, right? Like you have to wake up at a certain time to go clock into work. Like, it's not just about you. Whereas for me, even though I am working so many different side jobs for myself, I obviously have like my own schedule and I have like a way of doing things. And I'm pretty sure like I work a normal set of hours as like a traditional job. But at the end of the day, I'm still working from home. I'm still answering to myself. If I didn't want to wake up at 8 o'clock to do my 9 a.m. shift, like shift from home, I don't have to. I do it forcefully because that's the schedule that I follow. But I technically don't have to. Whereas if someone is like doing a bar job and a barista and like a school job, whatever it is, they have to wake up at 6 a.m. Like when I was doing my master's, I did student teaching, right? I had to wake up at 5:30 or 6 a.m. and get on the train before 7 a.m. to go clock into my shift, right? Like I can't just not do that. So there is definitely like a freedom with working for yourself. We all know that. Like if you are an entrepreneur that works for themselves, there's more of a freedom, but I don't know if the hustle culture is like suddenly gone from you if you are working for yourself or if you're not, you know?
I just think it's a lot less toxic.
Yeah, it is a lot less toxic.
If you are hustling for yourself versus just like giving your hours away to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like after I left my last job, I was unemployed for quite some time. And in the beginning, I was really scared of being unemployed because it was my first time being unemployed in a decade, in like a really long time.
A while.
And I remember like I was having a conversation with people and I was like, yo, I'm so scared to like dip below X amount in my bank account. Like if I dip below that, I'm going to lose my mind. And like I've dipped below that and like I'm fine, you know, like, and I think in my like time of unemployment, I obviously had a lot of freedom. I was doing a bunch of stuff, but like I had a lot more freedom. I didn't have to wake up at 7:45 and get ready by 8:30 to leave the house. Like I could do whatever I want. Not that I was like sleeping in until noon, but like I had the freedom of doing whatever I want. And I realized I love that freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, like we talked about this and you haven't been unemployed.
Guys, sorry to say, I've been unemployed my whole life.
Oh no.
You have the hiccups?
This is the last thing I wanted during Ramadan.
No water.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Hold your breath. Hold your breath.
Well, we're going to take a quick intermission. Okay, I'm still hiccuping, so I'm going to just pass this over to her. I had a question that I was going to lead to. My question is, so when you get to a place, because inshallah, I know you will, when you get to a place where, like, where you don't have to work, like, hours and hours a day, you can only work, like, 20 minutes a day, or, like, take a call or whatever, and, like, you're done, and you don't have to do anything for, like, 3 days because you just have a bunch of money, or you just have whatever built out. How are you going to, like, balance doing that versus, like, what we've grown up to learn from our parents about, like, hard work is hard work, and we just have to keep working hard and hard work and work hard, and life is work. You know, we went to Bangladesh. We saw that for a lot of people, life is work. Mm-hmm. Life is work. How do you navigate, like, knowing how much is too much work or how much is not enough work?
And I think that's where the conversation of, like, our upbringing comes in with, like, the hustle culture that also we see. So it's, like, ingrained in us to work hard, and that our value is attached to just our work and how much money we make. And then, you know, we're put into these big cities like New York City, where we see other people making this much money, competing with one another, and just, like, making life their work. And that's where, like, the inner work comes in. So I feel like in the past few years, I've done a good amount of, like, inner work and, like, therapy and things like that, where I've learned to understand that I'm more than just my work. I'm more than just how much money I make. I'm also kind. Like, I like helping people. I like doing art, you know, for fun. And there are so many characteristics that I have outside of work. And thankfully, the work that I do now, you know, whether it is with my designs, our podcast, or whatever, my art designs, small business, like, thankfully, those are things that I actually love working on. And I'm working on it, and it's like a sustainable type of income now because I've put so many hours into it and I'm passionate about it. I feel like if I wasn't genuinely passionate about what I work in, like, I wouldn't be where I am now. So even if I do get to a point where I only have to work, like, an hour a day, and other time, like, I can just rest, I feel like I'd still genuinely want to work on my passions, because it's not like I would just give away my passions to someone else for them to work on. It's, like, still, like, my baby. So I don't know if that's something that other people that do have a boss can really say. So I am privileged to say that. But on the other end of the stick, I think it really just comes down to your self-awareness and, like, inner work, you know, because when we do visit Bangladesh, and when I went to, like, Paris, and we went to London, obviously people in those places are also working. Like, hustle culture is predominant, like, everywhere, in big cities everywhere. But it's different because in London and Paris especially, people are working. You can see people going to their offices, but during lunchtime, they have a longer lunch break, right? They are able to take their cigarette breaks. They have a longer vacation days, and they prioritize rest over just working. And in Bangladesh, I'm not sure if that's really the case, but they're mostly working to survive and feed themselves and their families. And they're not really competing with their neighbor. Obviously, there's competition everywhere. But in comparison to what I see in New York, it's kind of like you're working for other people. You're working to give off that social image that you're a hard worker and that you have a perfect life and that you have all this money, right? Whereas in Bangladesh, it's kind of just like you're trying to feed yourself and your family, right? For the most part. Obviously, the competition and, like, everything is still there. But I think that's where it gets very sticky, because when you are in a culture, like a hustle-bustle culture like ours, and then you also grow up in a South Asian family that just prioritizes hard work and making a lot of money to have that traditional family and, like, providing for your immigrant family, it can get kind of very, like, toxic. And that's why you see a lot of kids that go into the doctor engineer route, and then they feel like the only thing that they have to say about themselves to other people is their job, you know, is how much money they make or the type of family that they married into or the kids that they have. You know, they don't have, like, other passions and things to really talk about, because they grew up just putting their worth onto their work and like their traditional life that their parents told them to have, you know? So that's why it's really important to not just have like side hobbies, but like to really do like introspective work and think about who you are beyond just your work, you know? Because if you just put your value on the environment that you live in, your family, the work that you do, imagine if your work was completely removed from your life. Like, who would you be as a person, you know? Like, I had phases in my life where work wasn't as poppin'. I didn't really have much to do. And it felt like my life was, like, falling apart. I didn't know who I was. And that's when I realized that I had to have, like, a wake-up call and figure out who I was beyond just work so that I could have a fruitful life. Because, you know, we should also be allowed to relax at the end of the day, you know? Do you think that the hustle culture has had, like, any benefit on you? And, like, putting your value on work?
Repeat the question, please. I just had an interview with this company, and my sister gave me a tip. She was like, if you don't know how to answer a question, just stall time. Just ask them to repeat it.
Right.
And every single time I've done that, I've gotten rejected from the job. So I don't know if it works.
Maybe they just think you're hard of hearing. They're like, you're deaf. They're discriminating on that. I asked you, do you think that there has been any benefit on your life from the hustle culture?
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
You know, I think the main like the devil's advocate to like working hard and like having hustle mentality is like mental health and like mental peace and whatever. But I think for me personally, working hard has never made me like ill mentally. Like it's never deteriorated like my mental health.
Like ill.
It's put my focus in like other places, but yeah. I don't think like I've worked so hard to where like I got burnt out for like a week or something. Yeah. Like I'll like sleep in a day or I'll like take a day off or like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never felt that effect from working hard. My only thing with like the hustle culture is like it's just like having the idea ingrained in our head that we should always be working hard regardless of what is going on in life. That's something that I'm trying to find my balance in. You know, it's not like, oh, work so hard and like, you know, don't worry about burning out, like whatever, you'll be fine. Like it's not that. It's like when like life is throwing you so many curveballs, when do you know it's time to like focus on those rather than like ignoring them and just continuing to like ignore the noise and like work through it. Mm-hmm. So I've only been like positively affected by the hustle culture. You know, like I date back to when I was 23. Like that's like the hardest I've ever worked in my life, and I sacrificed a lot. I didn't like go out with anybody. Like if I ever hung out with anybody, it was me inviting them over and just like like eating with them or something. Like that would be my hangout. Like I wasn't really doing anything, and yeah, I sacrificed like my social life or anything, but I'm happy with like what I accomplished at that time. And I just went to an event yesterday, right? And it was a cool event, like really cool. There was a lot of cool people there, and like the first 2 hours of the event was just like networking. And for a while I was just like on my phone, and I was like, do I care about networking right now? Like, yeah, there's like never nothing wrong with networking, like there's never a problem with it, but I don't know. Like,
you're fasting. You didn't feel like talking to people.
Yeah. And I just wasn't like in the space for it. And I don't know. I think it's like picking and choosing what about the hustle culture, like you want to adapt into like your workflow. And for me, like I've always been okay with like putting certain stuff to the side just to like accomplish my goals. So I've only benefited from it. I don't know if enjoyed it is the right word, but I think along the way I've learned to like learn to know when to not work.
Mm-hmm.
Not in regards to like, you know, when I'm like whatever, it's just like if there's something else that's going on in life, let me figure that out first. Like, I'll get to this. It's okay if I don't write tonight, let me just like figure out what's going on here first, you know. So it's just like diverting like your attention between different things.
Yeah, like the hustle culture really conditioned me to work beyond my means, because I feel like if I had stayed in my small town, I mean it wasn't small, but like
my like hometown, Maine? Like where are you from?
If I had stayed in my hometown, then I feel like I wouldn't have pushed myself, because it wasn't normal to do these untraditional creative routes back there. and there was no need for me to do more than I needed to, you know? Whereas here, not only did I have to do more to make an income, but I was forced to do that because I saw so many other people around me doing the same thing, so it was normal for me to do it, you know? And then in that process, I fell in love with doing it even more because it was more than just, like, money for me. So I hope you guys liked our little rant on it.
I don't know what we're going to cut out, but I've been hiccuping for 30 minutes now. I'm sorry.
And when he starts hiccuping, it doesn't stop.
I need water, that's all. But, you know, being a good Muslim. Anyways, thank you for taking lead for the second half.
You are so welcome.
We're going to move on to the responses that you gave, that you guys gave for our question on our Instagram story, which is
at Difficult Dish.
At Difficult Dish.
And our TikTok is at Difficult Dish Podcast. If you guys don't know, on Instagram, we ask you guys every single week before we record, for the most part, what our episode's going to be about. And so you can send in your own responses and experiences, and we sometimes feature in our episodes. So if you guys would like to be featured, or if you would want our little discussion on your response, then follow us on our Instagram at Difficult Dish.
Please do. So we just asked you guys a question. How has hustle culture affected your mental health? Is it predominant in your city or life? Maybe. Who knows?
So they said, I'm in college. I feel like I'm never doing enough. I'm burnt out from doing the bare minimum. I feel like that's very prevalent, especially if you're in college, but also if you are a part of this hustle culture in New York City life where you can be working so many jobs, which is unfortunate. You're already working a 9-to-5 in a regular job, full-time job. And on top of that, you have to get side hustles to just make a living here.
No, I think, like, specifically for, like, college kids, like, we weren't in these situations because we worked throughout college. But, like, I empathize with, like, the kids that, like, dedicate their life to college, to getting good grades, to, like, hopefully go into med school. And, like, unfortunately, like, sacrificing a lot of time to have, like, a better rest of your life. But, like, people that don't come from, like, rich households that, you know, their parents aren't able to give them $4,000 a month just to live, like, you know, I empathize a lot with those kids. And, like, I knew a lot of those kids that, like, their parents are just, like, literally sacrificing everything just for, like, the kid to succeed. And, like, I'm sure that's the situation with a lot of you guys, you know? And, like, I don't know, like, my heart goes out to that. Like,
someone said, yes, a bunch of my friends work multiple jobs and are full-time students, and I'm not, and I compare myself to them all the time, even though I am always working on school. Legit had to have a come to Jesus talk with my boyfriend, and he told me sleeping doesn't count as self-care time.
What do you mean? Wait, I'm confused. What do you mean by that?
Sleeping, what do you mean by that?
Sleeping doesn't count as self-care time?
Because sleeping is like a necessity. You need to sleep.
Oh, I see.
And a lot of people sleep extra because
I see what he's saying.
They're overworked and depressed.
Damn, I see what he's saying.
But you don't have the energy to do other things.
That hit me. That hit me right here.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, like, comparing yourself to, like, the people around you can, like, get to you too. Like, imagine you're in a friend group and, like, all three of them are, like, super obsessed with, like, side hustles and getting rich. But, like, you just kind of, like, want to work your job and, like, be okay. You know, it's like you're going to always be influenced to, like, do more. Whereas, like, and, like, you know, some people are just, like, not saying that people aren't built for, like, doing more, but, like, some people just don't want to.
They don't want to.
Some people don't want to get a part. Some people don't want to be millionaires, be entrepreneurs. Like, yeah, a lot, most people don't want
to. Stable.
You know, so, and I think, like, that mentality is just flooded in our heads. So, if you're the type of person that just wants to work your job and wants to, like, play with your cats at night, like, please do that. Like, alhamdulillah, like, we need people like that. Like, we don't need more, like, entrepreneurs that are just, like, trying to persuade every single person in the world to, like,
yeah, we don't need everyone to become an entrepreneur
and stuff. Like, it's fine. Just do you.
All right, last response. Someone said, I'd say there's a really prominent notion of always having to do something productive with your time. Anything that isn't visibly taking you towards your material or career, that goal is useless. And I feel like it's given me problems with the way I view breaks. I've been having to teach myself how to actually take a break without feeling guilty.
Damn. You talk about that.
I mean, we've had episodes on how to take rest without feeling guilty, how to be selfish without feeling guilty. So make sure to listen to that if you guys haven't already. But yeah, I think especially growing up in a South Asian family, it's like you are taught to always be doing something productive with your time. Like, you know, I've talked about stories where when I was living at home and I was in high school, if I took a second break from doing my homework on the laptop, that's the second my mom chose to come into the room and I had to pretend to open up my laptop again and like be typing away, even though I wasn't doing anything. And I think as an adult, it's really important to kind of uncondition yourself and to really learn how to be okay with peace, like be okay with being in stillness.
Because that's human, you know? Yeah, like stillness is the prize. Like that's what we should all be striving for. It's like everybody, like we always talk about working hard, but it's like, what are we working hard for? We're working hard to succeed, to have financial stability, to like, and to ultimately be at peace.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, you don't need a millionaire to be at, you don't need $1 million to be at peace. You can be absolutely regular and be at peace. Yeah. You know, everybody's just trying to tell you, you got to be the very best of the best. You don't. Just find your peace, whatever that is.
And it was only like the past few months where I actually forced myself to give myself a break, at least on Sundays, where I have some sort of boundary with my work and like my personal life. Because again, when you are working for yourself or when you are working in general or a student, it's like you have no boundary. You can just work through the night. You can just work whenever you want, you know, and it consumes you. But you kind of have to force yourself into feeling like you deserve some sort of break, whether it is an hour of reading or an hour of just like doing something for yourself. And it's obviously very hard if you are doing school and you're working and you have all these things that you have to do, but still try to carve out some sort of time for yourself, whether it is like a 15-minute walk or just a podcast.
And every day is a new day. You know, if you're not having a good day, if you got to study for some evening, that evening is not yours. Every day is the new day. You know, like if I'm having a tough day, a lot of time I'll just kind of give it up and give it for the next day, because I know I'll feel better after a good night routine, a good night of sleep. I'll feel refreshed more and like back and ready to go, you know. So every day's a new day.
Great.
My hiccups are gone. You want to like keep going?
Nah, I'm done. now they're suddenly gone.
Look, I don't know how much we cut off, but I hicked.
He hiccuped for 30 plus minutes.
I'm so
straight.
Sorry, guys. That's never happened to me before.
It's happened many times before. He hiccuped for 5 hours straight once in Boston.
Oh, I remember that.
I forgot about that.
That was different. I had to do a whole speech in front of Boston University.
All right. Damn, anyway, you got your 10-second advice?
Listen.
He says listen, and then he has nothing to say for you to listen to.
Quite niche, but I'm going to say it. My Muslims, go to Jummah on Friday. Go to Jummah on Friday. If you're not doing it on Friday afternoon, if you're just twiddling your toes on a Friday afternoon, just go to Jummah. I'm sure there's a mosque near you. Just go. It's free. Donate a couple dollars to the mosque. Just go. Ramadan Mubarak.
Mine is also kind of niche. Okay. Ramadan related.
Okay.
You know what's underrated? Dates. You know, every single Ramadan, I come around to these beautiful fruits to break your fast with.
Yeah.
Dates. Some and I always forget about them until Ramadan comes back around. And I have them, and they're, like, the most delicious fruits ever. And I'm like, why don't I make more, like, date smoothies or, like, something date-related?
Because they're quite expensive.
They are, but they're so good, you know? But anyway, eat some dates. They're really good. Maybe they're not aesthetically pleasing, but they're really good. Yeah.
Feel me?
You know how watermelon's, like, the summer fruit?
Yeah.
Dates should be, like, the fruit of the summer.
But the thing with dates is, like, they're not very healthy for you. So I've heard. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like, having one is fine, but it's, like, the type of fruit where, like, you shouldn't have two.
Why? That's not true.
Because there's a lot of sugar in them.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Anyway, eat some dates.
Okay.
And the emoji of the week is?
Some goddamn dates. Is there a date?
Is there emoji? If there's no date emoji, that's a problem.
If there's no date emoji, then just, you know.
Olives.
Some. Yeah, that's a close relative. Some fruit. Just fruit. Ramadan.
Yeah, Ramadan.
I hope everybody's having a good Ramadan. I'm trying.
All right. We love you guys. And we'll see you next week. Bye.